And I just want to let you know how much I appreciate you and your faith in Christ and your obedience to Him. And the work that God is doing here, it is a great encouragement and it is an inspiration to me. I praise God for that. I want to look at the topic of compassion here today. It was a number of years ago that a brother told me that I was a person that didn't have very much compassion. And while I would say that I didn't feel like I was without compassion, I actually took that statement as a rebuke from the Lord and as a kind of a wake-up call maybe for me. Well, something that God revealed to me that this is an area in my life that I really needed to grow in and needed to gain understanding and also experience. One thing I have found in life, and maybe you have too, and that is it's very easy to ignore the plight and the difficulties of others. It's easy to just move right on by, to just pass over and forget the difficulties that other people are facing. I'd like to begin in Luke chapter 10. It's going to be a topical message, so I'm not going to be tied to just one passage here, but I want to begin in Luke chapter 10 with a parable that Jesus told. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Bible says this, "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. A question for you as you look at this passage of Scripture. What would you have done in this situation? What if you were the one that was passing by and saw this man? What would you have done? When we look at the character of God, one of the things that is very evident is that God is very compassionate. That God actually cares for people. He's very concerned about people. And it's in the heart of God, really, for every person. God cares for that individual. There are at least 4 or 5 places in the Psalms where God is described as full of compassion. Psalm 86, verse 15, But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Beautiful picture of a caring God. I don't know about you, I'd like to be more like God in this way, especially. What is compassion? It's a word I think we're all familiar with. We've heard the word, but as I began to study this word, I learned some things that I didn't know before. The word compassion, if I understand it correctly, literally means to suffer with another person. That is, to join in by some degree to the suffering that another individual is experiencing. As I thought on this, I came up with four things I feel are needed to actually have compassion. The first is to see a need. When you see a hurting person, when you see a hungry person, you see a person that is oppressed, you see a person that is troubled, one who has been abused, whatever the situation is, do you see the need? I've been working with different men here for a number of years now, trying to give guys an opportunity to find work and to get started. A lot of these men were not doing anything, and it's just been amazing how God has been working. But one of the things I remember telling the men different times is you need to develop an eye for detail. You need to be able to look at a job and look at the work that you have done and evaluate it very carefully to see what isn't right here, what isn't complete, what isn't looking good. An eye for detail. We as believers need to develop an eye for needs. We need to be able to look at people and not just see the person on the surface, but actually begin to understand what is the need that this person has. What is the problem that this person is dealing with? What trouble is this individual facing? To have compassion, you have to see a need. Secondly, to have compassion, you have to feel the suffering. A couple terms here. One is sympathy. Sympathy is when I see someone in a difficult situation, in a problem, in a struggle, and I say that I feel for that person. I see that this person is in a difficult spot. I may have never had an experience similar to what they've had, but I actually allow my heart to be touched by their situation, and I have feelings of sympathy toward them. Better than that is empathy, but we can only have empathy if we've actually experienced what they're going through. And for those of us that have been through difficulties in life and suffering, one of the purposes that God has is that we will actually be able to relate to another person who is going through something similar. And that individual, we will be able to speak to them, we will be able to minister to them, and it will be to a greater degree of effectiveness because of our own experience in that problem. But whether you have sympathy or whether you have empathy or whatever it may be, are you feeling at all the pain of that person? The difficulty of their experience, the hardship that they face? 1 John chapter 3, if you want to turn to that verse, 1 John chapter 3, I think, gives a really, really good picture of this. Verse 17. John tells us, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" The bowels. The Bible's talking about the bowels of compassion. It's not talking about the physical organ. It's talking about deep within you. You are actually feeling the pain. You're feeling the difficulty that another person is experiencing. So we have to see a need. We have to feel the suffering. We have to connect with the person. There needs to be some point of connection in order for compassion to be given. What do I mean by this? Well, it could be somebody we already have a relationship with. It could be somebody that we meet perhaps by chance, just as we're going through life. It could be a person who is reaching out to you. Someone who is actually reaching out to you specifically. It could be someone that God motivates you to reach out to. There are an unlimited number of needs in the world. We can't meet all of them. I think we all understand that. It's be overwhelming to even think about it. And God doesn't expect us to meet every need. But what God is expecting is that when we see the need, okay, when we experience the situation, when we meet the person, that is what God is expecting. That's what He's desiring from us. So we have to see the need, we have to feel the suffering, we have to connect with the person, and the last one, very important, we have to help to meet that need. Doesn't mean we're going to meet the whole need ourselves. Doesn't mean it's going to be a long-term relationship, a long-term experience. Could be, it might not be. It's hard to say, but compassion is action. It's not just sitting here saying, wow, I really feel for this person, and then doing nothing about it. That's not compassion. Compassion is doing something about it. You may be able to meet the need entirely. You may be able to meet the need only in part, but you are going to do something to be able to help to alleviate the suffering of that person, or at least to help them to bear it in their situation. Who is it that needs compassion? Well, the Bible gives us many different types of people who are in need of compassion. The first, fatherless and widows. James chapter 1, verse 27, it says this, pure religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I had a call earlier this year. We were on a trip out west. I received a phone call from a widow. It's a woman with 9 children. Her husband died this February. And here she is. She was interested in moving to our area, and I'm a real estate agent. She called me, and she was asking for some help and for some advice about trying to find a house, and we've developed a relationship, and she just recently moved into our area here last month. It's been an opportunity for me and for our family to show compassion to these people who are hurting. Another group of people that need compassion are the poor and the needy. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11. Bible says this, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in thy land. People who are in that situation have a lot of needs and a lot of difficulties. Another group is the stranger or the foreigner. It's very interesting as you look at Scripture, the Old Testament in particular, that God has a very, very great concern for the stranger, for the foreign person. He's very much concerned about them. And He mentions them in different places. Exodus 22, verse 21 is one of those. It says, thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Another group is the oppressed. These are people who are being taken advantage of by others. These are people who are being perhaps abused. They're in difficult circumstances. They are in difficult situations. Isaiah 1, verse 17. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Another group is the sick and the disabled. I don't have a specific scripture here, but I think we see different places, in particular with the ministry of Jesus, how Jesus ministered to the sick, how He went to the sick. He was not afraid of them. But He went to them, and He brought healing. Another group is the elderly. The old man, the old woman. People who are elderly when they begin to lose the full function of the body and of the mind become very vulnerable. And they also become very needy in some cases. And there's an opportunity there for you to show compassion. And another group would be just those who are disadvantaged, those who just don't have maybe the good things that you and I have. And they don't have the blessings, they don't have the privileges that we have. These are people, these needy, vulnerable, suffering people are the people that God is very, very concerned about. And He wants us to be concerned as well. He wants us to show compassion to them. What are some ways, what are some practical ways that you can show compassion? One is by helping another person. And this can be broad, and these aren't in any particular order, okay? Just kind of a number of different ways. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When you see a burden, you see a person struggling who needs help, you may be the person who's able to help in that situation and have compassion on them. Another way to show compassion is through healing, and we see that very much in the ministry of Jesus and even of the apostles. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, it says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick." Jesus went healing people. Jesus brought healing to people who needed healing, people who were wounded. And this includes physical healing, which I would put into two different categories here. One would be miracles of healing. I believe God still can perform miracles. I believe that with all of my heart. If I didn't believe it, why on earth would I pray to God and ask Him to heal me or anyone else? There would be no point if God didn't heal. God still heals. So there may be situations where there's a miracle of healing. Or it could just be regular medical care where someone needs proper care so that a wound can be healed or there's some other problem that can be resolved. And we see that here in the passage with the Good Samaritan. Physical healing is one element here, but there's also another element, and that is the healing for hurting hearts. People who are hurting because they've been rejected, because of some loss that they've had, because a relationship has been lost, a marriage has been broken up, people who've been abused, people who have very disturbing and difficult problems, people who are stuck in destructive relationships and having to try to deal with those things. It's a tremendous, tremendous need for healing and for people who actually can bring healing to others. You will have a tremendous effect, a great effect on people, bringing the love of Christ and bringing the light of the gospel in the way that you treat them and minister to them. A third area would be in shepherding. Mark chapter 6, verse 34, "And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things." The word shepherd we see also in the Bible, the word pastor. It's the same basic word, pastor, shepherd. It means a person who cares for sheep or cares for animals. Okay, that's a shepherd. But when it's used talking of people in relation to others, it's talking about caring for other people, watching over other people. I don't know if you realize how many people there are in the world who don't have anybody. They don't have anybody that cares about them. They don't have anybody who's looking out for them. They don't have anyone who's teaching them anything of any value. They're there by themselves. They're on their own, without direction, without help, without support. So the idea of a pastor or a shepherd we see clearly in the New Testament is geared toward the body of Christ, right, at the local level, the local church level, and that's certainly true. But there's also a pastor or a shepherd function on the individual basis. Okay, there's an individual level where that can happen. And that is something where you may be able to actually provide the care, to provide the mentoring, to provide the love for a person who needs a shepherd. Another way you can show compassion is through teaching. This is the same verse that I just read. I'll read it again. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. People are perishing for lack of knowledge. People are continuing to flounder in their lives because they don't know what to do. They don't understand the way things actually work. They don't understand the will of God. They don't understand what sin is and what it is not. They do not understand their purpose. They don't understand their place in life. They don't understand what God wants to do for them. As you teach them, as you bring the truth to them, that truth can be life transforming. It can give them an opportunity that they would not have had otherwise. You can be the one who brings them the truth and, at the best case, brings the gospel to actually explain to them where they are at in relationship with a holy God, the need that they have for forgiveness, for salvation, and for life in Jesus Christ. Do you recognize the tremendous power through simple teaching, the opportunity that you bring to others when you give them the truth? Another way to show compassion is in forgiving. Matthew chapter 18, verse 27. Bible says, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. I don't know if you remember that story that Jesus gave, but this man owed a tremendous amount of money. No way he could ever pay it back. But he pleaded. He pleaded with the one he had borrowed from. And it says here that he was moved with compassion and he forgave him. People do a lot of things that they shouldn't do. There are a lot of sins that are committed. You've committed some, and so have I. And there is a need that we have for forgiveness. When a person genuinely repents and pleads for forgiveness, we should not reject them, okay? We should extend to them with compassion the forgiveness that they need. Another way to show compassion, and this one is a little bit different. If I had asked the question, what are some ways we could show compassion? I don't think too many of you would have come up with this. But maybe you would, I don't know. This is warning. To give a warning is actually an act of compassion. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 14 through 16. This was toward the end of the kingdom of Judah, where God was just going to bring his judgment upon his people because of their wickedness and because of their refusal to repent and to walk in his ways. Listen to what the Bible says here. 2 Chronicles 36, 14 through 16. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Do you see that? God had compassion. So God said, turn from your wicked ways. Stop living in sin. Get right with me. Get sin out of your life. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. It is actually a compassionate thing to tell a sinner where they're actually headed. To tell a rebel that what you're doing is not good and God is going to deal with you regarding your rebellion. It is compassion to share the truth, even if it's sometimes in a very blunt and straightforward way. It is an act of compassion and concern for the individual. Another way to show compassion is through giving. And I would think most of us would have said that if I was asking. I didn't ask you for your thoughts, but maybe I should have done that. I'm not sure. Giving is a way to show compassion. Here's a scripture that's very challenging to me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 42, Jesus says, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. I have grown in my understanding of this scripture. And I will say this, that I share with shame where I was at previously regarding this command of Jesus Christ. Now let me clarify for you and explain to you how I understand this passage, and then maybe you may have some thoughts as well, I don't know. I don't feel obligated to send money to every organization that sends me a request letter looking for donations. I don't feel obligated in that way. I don't feel compelled that if I see a person with a sign way over there that I have to run over there and give that person something if they have a sign that will work for food or I need help or whatever. I may be motivated to do that, but I don't necessarily feel like I have to do that to fulfill this scripture. I am a landlord. I don't just ignore when the tenants do not pay the rent and say, well, they don't want to pay the rent and Jesus wants me to give to them, and so I'm just going to let it slide and, you know, go down that road. But when a person asks me face to face for help, for something, I want to give. I believe that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. When someone asks you, you give to that person. I'm going to share an experience with you. We were in Philadelphia, I don't know when it was, a few years ago. I'm terrible with dates. I can't keep all that stuff straight. But I remember being there. We were walking down the street in downtown Philly, and we were heading to get a Philly cheesesteak, because Philly's famous for those cheesesteaks, and we were getting hungry for lunch. When we were coming back, we were walking on the street. There were people everywhere. I saw a man coming. And this was had to be of the Lord. The thought came into my mind, this man is going to ask me for money. I kept walking. I didn't necessarily look at him. He came right up to me and said, would you give me a certain amount of money? And I said, yes, I will. and I pulled out my wallet. I handed him some money, and I said to him, I am giving this to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, if you call out to God for help in your life, if you reach out to God for the needs that you have, God will be able to help you and meet your need. The man looked bleary-eyed to me. He looked like a person that was perhaps under the influence of medication. I don't know. Maybe alcohol. I'm not sure. And I gave to him. The only regret that I have is that I didn't give him more than what I did. Okay? If I had it to do over again, I would have given him even more than what he asked for. Now, when we're dealing with people, particularly drug addicts and drunks and other things like that, we need discernment. We don't want to help to support a destructive habit, okay, or destructive sin. But this was a one-time experience, okay? And what the man did with the money, I don't know, and as far as I'm concerned, God isn't going to hold me responsible for what he did with it. I gave that money in faith to that man. I gave it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that God is going to take that and God is going to work with that for his purpose. And so, how do you view people who are in need? And I know there are people out there that they're professionals at this type of thing. And some of them are crooks. I realize that. But what I've found is when you give in Jesus' name, even to a crook, it can have an impact. It can make a difference in that person's life. Giving, very important. Another area would be giving opportunity. And I had shared with you a little while ago about some of the men. In the past year and a half, I probably had maybe 7 or 8 different men either contact me directly or somebody else told me this person needs some work. And I've had the opportunity to give these people a chance to work. And it has been amazing to see what God has been doing with them and also what God has been doing with me. The things that I am learning, the areas in my life where I see, boy, I really needed some growth in this area and in my understanding. And in the way that I relate to people, I remember Corey. This was probably 1.5 years ago, and he was the first one of this group that kind of started this. He called me up. Corey's a young man, and if you're in the financial training, I talked about Corey at that time. You can remember that far back. Called me up. Corey was at home, a married man with 4 kids, and he was not doing anything in his life. He didn't have a job. He was playing video games all day. He was watching the kids some when his wife worked some of the time. Corey called me up and said, Steve, he was getting desperate. He said, Steve, will you give me a job? And I said, he was a tenant that I had had previously. I said, Corey, I said, I am going to give you a job. So I'm going to give you an opportunity. I said, now you're going to have to step up. You're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to produce. You're going to have to stick to it. You're going to have to put the effort forth. But I'm going to give you an opportunity. And if I could tell you stories, there are a lot of chapters in this story. Corey and me, I guess I could write a book. And it hasn't been all peaches and cream either, I'll tell you that. Been some difficulties there. Been a few sins that I've committed that I've had to correct with Corey and share with him. This is what I did here that was wrong. I'd like for you to forgive me. We have a very good relationship today. God, in fact, has been working marvelously in Corey's life. Corey actually experienced divine healing in the hospital. He was in the hospital with COVID. He told me almost died 2 times. And God actually touched him and healed him. And he and his wife both recognize that. There are great things happening there in those lives. But it began with giving opportunity. I understand in a business we have to be careful and we can't just let every Tom, Dick, and Harry have a job. Had a couple guys that were on drugs, and I was very thankful when the one stole a bunch of tools, because after that, he didn't come back. And I was glad, because I didn't have to tell him not to come back, and yet he didn't come back. And he was a problem to himself, he was a problem to me, and he was a problem to the other people there. And so I learned some things there. With somebody on drugs, it doesn't work very well to give them a job. Very difficult. God has to lead us in each situation. This is important. This is a very important point. Compassion is not doing for others that which they can and should do for themselves. That's not compassion. Okay? That's the problem with many of the social programs that we have nowadays. People are classified as unable to work, and then they receive a monthly check. And the problem with it is, and I've found it with a lot of these men I'm working with, these are able-bodied people who actually can do work. They may have some challenges, they may have some issues, but they can work. And we don't help people by labeling them and encouraging them not to work and to do the things that they should be doing to fulfill the obligations that they have. I have one more way here, and there are probably others, that we can show compassion. And this one I call bringing justice. Psalm 82, verses 2 through 4. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Justice is giving proper punishment for wrongdoing. That's one aspect of justice. Upholding the virtue of the law. But there's another aspect of justice where we actually work to free the victim of injustice and crime. The person who suffers because another person does wrong, where we come to the aid of that individual and we help that person so that they can recover from the injustice that they have experienced. I think you can see that showing compassion is meeting physical needs, but it's actually much deeper, it's much more involved than physical needs alone. I'd like to end our study here in Mark chapter 9, verse 22. Mark chapter 9, verse 22. I call this the cry for compassion. I'm going to go back here. I'm going to go back a couple verses just to get a little bit of context. This is where Jesus met this man. This man had a child that was in terrible, terrible shape. And verse 20, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. And help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Let me ask you this question. If someone was crying out for compassion, would you be able to hear him? If you heard him, would your heart be touched? If your heart was touched, what would you do? As we go from here today, I want to encourage you to listen. Listen for the cry for compassion. Listen and respond. God bless you.